The pressure on data centers has never been greater. Whether you're expanding capacity, supporting AI workloads, or building new facilities, Graybar works alongside you with the solutions, specialists, and logistics expertise you need today. We help you power performance every step of the way, so your operation is ready now. Yep, Graybar does that.
Nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen, not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
Portland's favorite morning roast.
Who was the second hottest golden girl? Oh, you want to rank the hot golden girls?
It's time for your sunrise guys.
If yeah. Blanche is number one,
was she the first TV cougar?
Ooh.
Andy Dirk Johnson, Brandon Sprague.
You're going to say Estelle. You're going to surprise me, and I'm not going to judge you for it. Estelle seems like she was probably wild.
Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader, 105.1 The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. Hour number three, Dirt and Sprague here, Portland Sports Leader, 105.1 FM, The Fan, 1080 AM, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube. Good morning, everybody. Hope your days are off to a great start.
Fantastic.
Ours are going great. We got a Wednesday version of the Mail Sack coming up here about 24 minutes from now. Your Sparta TRT Mail Sack questions are welcome. The Fan text line, 503-864-6326. We will get to Wright Gasaway coming up at the top of the hour. And he will update us on the city council vote, everything we need to know that is happening today. And we will get an update from the guy who has covered this story better than literally anybody in the market. He's been awesome every step of the way. And he will hop in studio 1 hour from now. And we'll get the lowdown on what we need to know going into the vote today. A couple of quick thoughts here. I want to read at least one on the Oregon State situation coming into the season. And Jamarcus Shepherd coming out saying, hey, guys. There's going to be some bumps in the road, okay? I just need you to stick with me here. Seemed pretty level-headed in my mind. I was curious how Oregon State fan responded. And one Beaver fan said, Shepherd is saying, look, we have turned over the roster and coaches and play a top 10 team out of the gate. It might look ugly to start. That's honest. As a Beav, I appreciate hearing camp rumblings about attention to detail and process. Nimick is also saying the recruiting is already far better than it was under Bray. I believe Shepherd knows all of this and is just saying, don't judge us from week 1 to 5 only. Give us the season and your full support. Can only accelerate the rebuild process. I, for one, love his passion. Getting the alumni buy-in as well, it will pay off. That's how you get a culture established and become the annual conference bully, a realistic goal, which is also something I believe the coach gets. And that is the one thing, like, you look at your lot in life right now, it's certainly not ideal. And I disagree with everything that has transpired in terms of them getting kicked to the curb. The thought process internally, if I'm working at Oregon State, would be, we should, like, Boise State is a very good program. There's no doubt about it. They've also benefited for the last 25 years playing a Mountain West schedule when you've had to play a Pac-12 schedule. Like, those are apples to oranges. And so this idea that they're off to a better start than you, they probably will this year because they're just in a better spot as a program. But my expectation would be we're going to come in and dominate the Group of Six level and be a college football playoff contender every year. Why can't you get there? You were a Pac-12 team. You have the stadium for it. You should have the fan support for it. Sure, it'll be hard to keep coaches around, but that was the reality even when you were in the Pac-12. And so my thought process would be, how do we get to that point? And I'm glad that that should be the mindset down there. And I would say, too, like, on the note of being patient and waiting for things, remember how we felt Trent Bray's first year a month and a half into the season. They beat, let me go pull up the schedule. They beat Purdue, I remember, at home. Ran the ball all over them, and Purdue sucked butt, but it was a Big Ten team, so everybody made note of it. They lost to Oregon. Oregon smoked them, but that's going to happen. They beat Idaho State convincingly. They shut out San Diego State 21-0, got smoked by Oregon, then they beat Purdue by 17 and beat Colorado State. You were 4-1 into the start of the Trent Bray era of like, oh, okay, here we go.
And then the fateful game at Nevada.
And then Nevada, that just the bottom fell out. You kept throwing pick sixes, and then UNLV came in and beat you, and then Cal dominated you. That was the Mendoza game, I believe.
Yep.
I think it was still there that year. Air Force shut you out, and it just hit this careened into the side of a mountain.
The Air Force game was
you couldn't get a first down. I remember that was one of the ugliest football. I turned it off in the second quarter, like, this is over. They have no chance of winning this game.
Then you miraculously beat the Cougs.
Beat the Cougs, and then you got dominated by Boise State. But the point being, like, you were 4-1, probably feeling great in the second week of October, and then fast forward and you ended the season 5-7. And so I would view it the opposite this year, where maybe you're surprised. Like, who the hell knows what Houston's going to look like? Texas Tech has a new starting quarterback. You get them at home. I'd imagine the crowd support for that Tech game is going to be really solid. Maybe you come out with a good effort. You're competitive in both of those games. But it also doesn't have to, it doesn't have to derail your season or make you have a judgment about where the season is going to go. Because, again, outside of Boise State, what else is on that schedule? You can tell me that maybe Texas State's going to be good this year, or you like what Colorado State has done, or you know, whatever. That's fine. Or Washington State has been solid, even though they've lost coaches every year. That's fine. But none of those games are like, nah, we don't have a chance. You might lose all of them. I don't know. Maybe you win all of them, but you're not going into them like, ah, damn, this team's playing a different sport than we are. We have no chance today. So stay optimistic, even if the first 2 weeks don't go according to plan, would be my message. And I think that's what Shepard's message was as well. I do have to acknowledge, you know, hey, We sit in here, we swing at pitches, it happens, sometimes you miss. And I think I've missed on a pitch. Now, some of the framework of the argument I was making is still valid. He's not the most outlandish and entertaining personality that
exists.
He's
not a quote machine.
Not a quote machine. I have to acknowledge, though, that after two episodes, I am fully captivated by Mike Macdonald. Episode one was fine, like some of his team stuff. Like, he's got a funny, dry sense of humor. My takeaway from episode one was he's a little dry, a little awkward. He's also the kind of coach that I would love to play. I would love to play for a guy like that, because he shoots you straight. There's no subterfuge going on. Like, he just seems like he's a genuinely good dude who cares about you and he's doing it the right
football,
way.
When it comes to football, it's very plain right in front of you.
Yes.
There's no mincing words. There's no weird euphemisms or metaphors or anything like that. It's like, this is what we are trying to do. Do this and we will be successful.
Right. Seahawks fan got very upset with me when I said your coach is boring. And I maintain that he is a hair boring, but I am fully captivated by him. So I will
say,
swing and a miss on
hosting a Comedy Central roast anytime soon.
No, he's not the biggest soundbite guy. He's not a talking point like that. But last night's episode was one of the better episodes of Hard Knocks that I've ever seen. The Mitch Johnson sit-down was great. The Spurs coach coming into town. I'll get to some audio here in a moment. They had a thing where they had an offensive lineman and a defensive lineman stand up, and just a random in-the-middle team meeting competition where they gave them sledgehammers, and it was first one to have your elbows bend loses. So it was the offensive side cheering the deep. And it was just one of those, like, such a good idea, and everybody in the room is going crazy.
Yeah.
It was a great episode, man. The Terry and Arnold stuff going on in real time was wild, because I had totally spaced that they were working him out while I was on vacation. I come back and I'm like, that's right. And he's talking to Jalen Milroe, came in and was giving him thoughts on, I played with him at Alabama, here's how he was. It was a great episode of Hard Knocks. This was, though, one of those moments you're like, God, this is great television. Derek Hall has become one of the talking points of Hard Knocks, because he got a new contract in the offseason. He shows up to day one in training camp and his truck is 97 feet lifted in the air. He wears booty shorts at practice. Like, he just legitimately, like, oh my God, that barely covers your butt cheek there, buddy. And he got into a fight. In episode one, he got into a fight, and the fullback told him, you've changed with your contract, which is like, that's a bit of a personal dig. And so he has become kind of one of these, like, stars of the show. He's a big personality guy, very loud and outlandish. And Mike Macdonald, head coach of Seattle, not happy with one of his linebackers.
Derek, what are you doing? What are you doing? Why are you bull rushing right now near the quarterback?
I'm not trying to hump. I can't see behind.
You can't be trying to hump right now. This isn't the time for it.
That needs to be a drop.
Damn it, Derek.
That away, good timing. That away, hey, Sam.
Stay away from the quarterback.
How when I read clearly past?
Get him out. Get him out. Get him out.
What do you want me to do?
Get him out. Get him out. Let's go.
Get him out.
Damn. Oh, my gosh. What the f***?
Hey, you can complain all you want. You can complain all the f*** you want. You're too close. That's twice. It's not smart. So you can f*** all you want. But it turns out I'm running the f***ing practice.
God, it was so good, dude. It was fantastic. What are you trying to hump right now? Or I'm trying to hump. That needs to be a drop. That's, I mean, just well done all around. Everybody
gets
a hump
on. One thing you don't do in training camp.
You don't get near the quarterback.
You don't breathe on your starting quarterback.
Like, that would just drive me nuts. I missed did you guys talk about the Vegas fight? Kirk Cousins and Crosby getting into it?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I don't know if that stemmed from the same thing. I don't know if we got a report on it.
We
that
know
one,
Max is crazy.
Yes, and in practice, he's always crazy. Kirk Cousins getting
and
into a fight.
Max Crosby is notorious for not understanding the difference between practice and a game.
Yes, he runs it 100 miles per hour at all times.
I will kind of go that. That's what he's doing.
Yes.
If you don't want him doing that, then don't have him practice those drills.
Right. I just, yeah. It was a great back and forth. I love that. It was the humping. And anyways, if you haven't watched it, it's porn if you're a Seahawks fan, right? Because you won the Super Bowl and everything's great.
That gives everybody confidence that at some point your head coach needs to be a head coach.
I don't give a rip about your new contract. I don't care. Get the hell out of here.
Not afraid to be the head coach.
Yeah, get the hell out of here. Great stuff last night on Hard Knocks. Swing and a miss on me. He's not the most entertaining guy, but I am captivated by him, and it was a great episode last night. We've always known he's an elite head coach. Like, that was never a debate, even when he took over, especially on the defensive side of the ball. But it's been fun. 2 weeks in watching Hard Knocks. We get more preseason games, by the way, tomorrow night. We'll dive into that in a little
bit. Five or six to get you going.
I'm going to be glued to it. I can't wait. Did you see the number? I think it was 9 million people watched the Hall of Fame game.
I did not see the number, but there was nothing else going on.
It doesn't matter if anything else is going on, Swag. Can you acknowledge that?
No, I know.
It doesn't matter.
But you're surprised.
What else could have been going on this time of year that would get those fans to watch instead of the Hall of Fame game?
No, I know.
Nothing.
But usually what happens is that you watch at the start and then it tails off because the game just stinks.
Yeah.
And in a rarity,
I kept it on the whole time.
I had to go up and see my dad.
Mm.
And so towards the end of the first quarter when it was punts, 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 and I thought it was an Iowa scrimmage. It's like
6-3 final.
Now seems like the good time to go up. And then I come back and it's like
27-24, whatever.
What the hell's going on?
Everybody's getting points out here.
Yeah.
The other bit of NFL news from yesterday that was notable.
Your boy Niner.
We got to pour one out for Niner, guys. I will remember you. He's lost his job in Minnesota.
Look, he's a young player with a whole bunch of outstanding things in his future.
Big shovel.
I genuinely believe that JJ's going to, you know, work as hard as ever just because, the immediate temporary result wasn't exactly what he's wanted. I know he's going to be ready to go. I know he's going to continue to improve. And the long-term mindset of him as a, you know, Minnesota Viking and all the things that he's brought here is still absolutely part of the long-term vision for sure. And, you know, I'm excited to see him go do that and get to do it with him.
Let me quickly, so he's still a part of your long-term plans. Is that true? Okay, let me just quickly do a search. Kyler Murray, yes, he is 29 years old. Got it. Okay.
How long is Kyler's deal?
I think he's on a one-year deal.
Oh, okay.
And he also added, by the way, in the contract that he can't be tagged.
Yeah.
He has a no-tag designation.
Exactly.
So if he has a good year, Minnesota will not let another quarterback walk. After having Sam Darnold walk in free agency, Daniel Jones was in their building. One just won the Super Bowl. The other one had the Colts relevant for the first 2 months of the year. If Kyler Murray has a good year, he's getting a contract extension, which, O'Connell, I apologize to tell you, that is the end of J.J. McCarthy in Minnesota. He's done.
Will they be able to even get a seventh-round draft pick for McCarthy if you want to trade him?
No. What did Lance go for? A fifth? And that was a horrible trade for Dallas.
Yeah.
I mean, whatever. You want to take a roll of the dice on a top 10 pick, fine. That was fifth round pick, whatever. But that's what he will not go for more than that. No.
Do you have I never know. On a rookie first, because he was a first round pick.
Yes,
so
he
his
was.
Deals.
4 years fully guaranteed.
Yeah.
So he's going into year three. So next year's the last year of his guarantee. Nobody's picking up his fifth-year option. So next year's the last year of his guarantee.
So this is year three.
If you're a first-year round pick, you got four plus the team option at the end of it.
Well, no, they're not picking up the team
option. God, no. And whoever he gets traded to next year, which he will, mark my words, he will get traded, you'll see is some bad team will take a roll of the dice on him, see if he plays, and then they're not going to pick up his option either. This is interesting on a couple of different levels. The Minnesota Vikings were above 500 last year. They were 9-8. The entire NFC North was above 500 last year.
They've got everything else that you
would
want.
Do you know what their quarterback stats combined were for all their guys? They were above 500 last year in the National Football League.
In the National Football League.
They played technically three different quarterbacks during the season. J.J. McCarthy, Carson Wentz, and Max Brosnan.
Percentage was what, 57%?
61%.
Oh, that's better than I thought.
Yep.
What did you average per game? 230 yards?
188.
Oh, my God.
18 touchdowns, 21 interceptions. And they were 9-8. They were a play or two away from being a playoff team last year with 18 touchdowns combined in 20. And by the way, one of those touchdown passes came from a running back on a trick play. So from a quarterback standpoint,
so 16 tuds in 21 picks.
I mean, it's just horrible quarterback play.
So the trick for Kyle, if Kyler's just Kyler.
Can I tell you something?
And he doesn't.
Yeah.
He avoids, when he's scrambling, just heaving it up.
Yes.
If he avoids those picks where it's third down and seven and he's scrambling for his life and he just heaves it up, if O'Connell can get him to just eliminate that from his repertoire, and he'll average 260, 275 yards passing. Yeah.
I'm a buyer. I'm buying Minnesota Vikings stock. Yeah.
Other than the fact that that division is, bad team in that division.
There's no gimme there, no doubt about it. As of now, right? Injuries can happen, things can change. But
there's no team on paper in that division. There's no Cardinals in that division.
Where did Kyler Murray play? That's just where, we've seen this so many times now where you never say never with guys. And I'll do that. To be fair to J.J. McCarthy, we'll do that with him. Never say never. We'll wait and see. Maybe he ends up turning his career around.
I just worry of all the psychological crap that O'Connell has to do.
Well, it's also different of so Kyler Murray.
Rather than him coming out and go, he's not ready. We've told him what he needs to do to be able to play, and he's not getting it, and I don't know what else to do.
Benjamin Solak had a camp report on them. This was, I think, last week, looking at the quarterback position, and he basically said J.J. McCarthy was operating like he was wrapped in duct tape. Every throw in practice was a check down. He was afraid to turn it over. He wasn't cutting the ball loose. It's like, that's not how you win a job, man. You're three of a system. You should have a massive leg up on Kyler Murray, and he's just throwing check downs all over practice. That's just, we know that he doesn't necessarily have it. The difference between him and some of the other guys, even use Sam Darnold as an example of this. He just won a Super Bowl. He played for the Jets.
Yeah.
The Jets. Kyler Murray has been the starting quarterback of the Arizona Cardinals. I'm 37 years old. The Arizona Cardinals have been ass for 35 of my 37 years on this planet.
2 years with Kurt Warner.
Minus 2 years. They've been terrible. My entire life, they're the Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah.
You play for, this is one
you
of the best
Justin
offensive minds.
Jefferson.
You have the best wide receiver, arguably, in the NFL. An incredible fan. You are put in a position to win.
You have four tight ends on that roster.
And you can't do it. So these are not the same to say, well, he struggled, now he'll find his footing. If you get drafted by the Browns and you're bad for 3 years, I'll give you some leeway. Yeah. Maybe you'll figure it out.
And you have the quarterback whisperer
as Trey Lance.
Head coach.
If you go to San Francisco with a brilliant offensive mind and weapons all over the place and you suck butt, you're going to suck butt everywhere you go.
Pretty
if you
much.
Can't do it. Because then on the other hand, we say, well, quarterbacks are only good because they're in that system. Clearly not all of them.
Nope.
Because Trey Lance sucks. So I will tell you, your hot take for my first show back, I think the Minnesota Vikings are going to win the NFC North. I think that talent on that roster just needed a quarterback with a pulse and a heart. They were competitive in a lot of games last year that they lost because Niner couldn't stop throwing picks. And I've never been the biggest Kyler guy. His biggest issue has been he has to stay healthy late in the year. He always gets banged up.
Yeah, his health, keeping
him
upright.
But you don't have to do everything.
You don't have to do it. You don't have to scramble on every play.
You're a competent organization,
learn the system, and then avoid the playground.
Yes.
Run around for your. No, throw it out of bounds.
Just
punt.
Don't be stupid.
It's okay to punt because you have a really good defense.
Yes, don't be stupid.
Yeah.
That's all you got to do. NFC North champs. I'm buying it, dude. I'm buying it. I also, one last note on this, and then we'll go to our Wednesday version of the mail sack. We all have our biases, no matter what level of journalist you are or proclaim to be. Has anybody seen the public meltdown that Adam Schefter has had over this because his Michigan man, J.J. McCarthy, got benched?
No.
The wording of tweets is hilarious, and it can tell you a lot about how a person really feels. So he breaks the news, I believe, yesterday that Murray's been named the starter in Minnesota. Oh, look at that. Okay, nobody's surprised. I've told Sprague for weeks, this is not a quarterback competition. We all know who the starting quarterback of Minnesota is.
It was more just how long was it going to take Kyler to figure out the system.
Or the team just deciding that we want to announce it and get it out of the way. And I give O'Connell credit there. You're going into week one of your preseason game. This is a ruse. Nobody believes this is a competition. Just name your starter and get it over with. So he announces that Murray's the starter, and then he adds a follow-up tweet to it, which is why it's hilarious. And it basically reads, where did it go? J.J. McCarthy missed his entire rookie season due to injury and started just 10 games last year, with Minnesota winning 6 of them. Now the only 23-year-old will be forced to be a backup. Quick trivia question. Where did Adam Schefter go to college?
Yeah, he's a Michigan man.
Got it. Okay,
very
J.J. McCarthy.
Very proud to be a Michigan man.
Got it. Okay, just making sure my boxes are checked there. We all have eyeballs, Adam. We know that he sucks. Farewell to the Niner. We will miss you. Great run. The mail sack on a Wednesday. Get your questions in 503-864-6326. We got some good ones in. Fill up the sack. Right, Gasaway coming up top of the hour. Mail sack on a Wednesday next on The Fan.
Data centers don't wait, and neither should your supply chain. From power and connectivity to racks and critical power, Graybar brings the products and the experience data centers need now. And with deep inventory and logistics expertise, we keep projects moving from first delivery to final install. With hundreds of locations and a nationwide delivery fleet, we help you bring facilities online on time and on budget. Yep, Graybar does that.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast. Available wherever you get your podcasts.
You ask, Dirt and Sprague answer.
Yeah.
This is the Mail Sack.
Mail Sack time.
Mail Sack.
Brought to you by Sparta TRT.
This is Sparta!
Committed to safe, simple, straightforward testosterone replacement and male performance therapy. Go to SpartaTRT.com for more.
Mail Sack.
Red 85. Fat hot.
That's right. It's a Sparta TRT Mail Sack time. Look, we love our friends at Sparta TRT. And we had a best of show yesterday. Brooke Olsendam was our last mail sack guest, and she was great. Last Tuesday was fantastic. They deserve a live sack. We're going to give you a live sack. Here's your live sack. It's brought to you by Sparta TRT. Whether you're hitting the gym or just trying to survive the workday, don't just watch from the sidelines. Reclaim your edge and win at the second half of life. SpartaTRT.com.
Go see them if you have a dead sack. If you have a dead sack.
Dead sack, yes. Give them a phone call. You might need to do that.
180!
I just want to start playing football calls, man. I'm so excited for football season. Okay, here we go. Your mail sack time. By the way, a couple of... Where did this go? Mariner fan chiming in at Jason Swigard. As you can tell, or expect, probably very upset with you. Mariner fans chimed in. Thank God we don't have the Dodger bullpen. Swag ranting about the team is the same as the rich, snobby 16-year-old complaining because of the Mercedes G-Wagon he got for his birthday isn't the right shade of gray that he wanted.
Now you know my upbringing in Lake Oswego.
I wanted the yellow one!
Oh, my God. I had...
I didn't want the Mercedes!
You have no... I lived that. I witnessed that. Wasn't me. I had a little gray, silver Toyota Corolla that was for all the kids. It was called the bumper car. But I need toes to tell you the number of people that got Beamers and Mercedes on their 16th birthday.
That's fantastic. I put up a poll question earlier today. I will give you the results later. The biggest question mark for Oregon this year, and I did chuckle at a response. I asked offensive line coordinator, linebacker, or other, what is it? And somebody responded, hopefully all the above is a problem for Oregon. Rooted them to fail every week. First off, I appreciate your hatred. I love it. That's what we love about college football.
Yes.
It's one of the few things that keeps me going despite how heartbreaking and disastrous the end of the year has been the last 2 years, is knowing that in the back of Oregon haters' minds, I know that you have the thought of like, oh God, please don't do this. Please, I know that you have that thought. And that sustains me throughout the course of the season.
Yeah.
So we're on lockstep, just on different sides of the equation, baby. That's the beauty of college football. Let's get to the mail sack, shall we? On a Wednesday, we don't usually do it here.
But
this hour, we're going to roll, all right? Here we go. Mail sack time. At what age does a Richard become a Dick, a Charles become a Chuck, a William become a Billy? Early in life or later in life? Now, I have this. My son's name is Theodore.
Right.
And he has always, I have never once called, that's not true. Occasionally you can do the full name, like, what the hell's the matter with you?
No, once he's old enough to know that what he's doing he shouldn't be doing, that's when you will start using Theodore.
That's when that comes out occasionally, right?
But he's still not quite cognizant that.
Yes.
There's a few things, but no. Somewhere around 4 or 5 years old.
It's very funny that
when they start doing things that they know they're not supposed to be doing.
Right. My dad was this way because his name was David, and then people in college started calling him Rocky. And it just stuck. Like, that's just what his name became. Okay. And it was always funny to be around his, certain members of his family who would call him David still, and it would always throw me, because my entire life, I didn't even recognize that as his first name.
The one that's different is William, because there's so many different... There's Will, there's Willie, there's Bill.
Yes, yeah, so you could go
That can be anything.
Yeah.
So that's a hard one. That's more personality-based.
If you were Richard, would you want to be Dick?
No.
You wouldn't want that?
But that comes when you become a professional at some point.
Okay. Once you've graduated and moved on to the industry life.
Once you get to mid-management, then
Mid-management is when you become Dick.
When you're a supervisor over people, when you change the business card.
That's true. Become a boss. You have to go that way, right? If you go that route.
Charles or Charlie to Chuck.
Charlie's one of the names on our option for kid number two. I'd be okay with Chuck.
I would guess that would happen in college.
Yeah. My vote would be a little bit earlier than that, because I could see kids in school being, you know, high school start calling you Chuck. You're playing sports, you know. Let's go with the shorter version instead of Charlie.
Still in high school, you're still Charlie.
You think you're still Charlie?
Yeah.
And that's Charles. Charlie is already a shorter version.
Chuck is college.
Chuck is college. You think Chuck's college?
Yeah.
It is. We have a Teddy Theo situation. And it is really funny to see the amount of, most people call him Theo.
Now, at some point when he gets like your age now, will he go to Ted?
He could. I'd be totally fine with that. I'd love Ted. New season of Ted Lasso came out, by the way. I didn't see the episode last night because they're doing it one
at a
time.
At some point, I need to find a time to binge that.
I don't care that it's a cash grab. It doesn't bother me. I understand why they're doing it. Sudeikis got divorced and he needed the money. Like, I don't have it. I love that show. Give me more of it. I'm not going to complain about, you know, filling my hole with more content.
Give me more Hannah Waddington. Time of the day.
Are you kidding me, man?
Wow.
I'm
not a Keeley fan, but
yeah, it's a little over the top.
Hannah Waddington.
Yeah, she makes up for it. Great actress. Anyways, it is really funny to see the Teddy Theos. Like, my brother's the only one I think that calls him Teddy. Maybe my brother-in-law too. But I feel like everybody else calls him Theo. And if you ask him what his name is, he says Teddy. It's a very unique, like, we're in this. I've won the argument for now because I wanted Teddy, not Theo. And so he also just, you know, TH sounds for two-year-olds don't really go very well together.
Yeah.
So it's, that's a great start to the mail sack. Nice. All right, what else we got here? Mail sack, is it time for the Mariners to fire Dan Wilson?
No, it's time to fire Jerry DePoto. Your problem.
It's time to have an owner who cares and wants to spend more money.
Who wants to win a better than a 54% clip?
That's the one thing I will say in defense of Jerry DePoto. This is where, there's a question you're doing about the Giants, so I'll get to that one next to kind of connect the two. You were a game away from going to the World Series last year. You were that close. You're knocking on the doorstep. You're in game seven. Yeah. You blow the lead. Heartbreaking loss. But you realize, okay, we're that close to getting there. What did they do in the offseason? They added Brendan Donovan.
Nothing significant.
Who had been he's a fine player. Okay.
This was the offseason you went over the top.
This is the time of like, man, we're right there. How do we take the next step? Go be aggressive. And they didn't do it.
And you can blame ownership, but that's where you need a GM that can convince ownership. No, I understand we haven't been at this level of payroll, but we literally are one or two pieces away.
Go get one more.
Another bat and another arm. Yeah.
And not every free agent signing or pitcher from the offseason has worked out great everywhere they've gone. That's not always a guarantee. Look at my team an example.
But you go find the right one. Maybe you do a short-term deal. It's 2 years with an option, so you're not locked in forever.
It's the idea of just being aggressive in that moment and going in.
But you could have gone and done a Kyle Tucker deal.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely you could have. And making a marginal move like Brendan Donovan was not. I mean, that's a fine move. I have no issue with that in a vacuum. But when that's this,
the move that does it.
Was that the centerpiece of their offseason? Did they do anything else notable?
No, the big one was signing, keeping Naylor for the long-term deal.
Sure,
they
that's
signed
fair.
Him to the big deal.
But again, I guess is technically a move. He was already on the team. That's not adding to your roster. And so I would point the finger mostly at ownership. I don't think Dan Wilson's a great manager. I also have a hard time fully evaluate. Like if you
But
don't...
do you have any faith they're going to go get somebody that is considered, I don't know. I view baseball managers in the same light that you do NBA coaches.
Yes, there's not a lot there. 10%, maybe. You got to make pitching changes.
You got to massage the bullpen.
Yeah.
And it's more about, and the way that baseball is every day, and it's more psychological. Do they relate to players? Is it somebody you can come in and have a conversation with? And is the manager, if they have to go and take the guy, you know, the stud guy or the guy with the giant contract and go, listen, I got to move you down in the lineup, or I need to, you need to go to the bullpen or something.
Yeah, no one would push forward or pull the reins back.
Do they have the stones to do that when it absolutely helps the team?
Yeah, I don't see firing Dan Wilson being a savior for things are not going to turn around.
Changes anything whatsoever. If the players like him, respond to him.
Yeah, then I wouldn't make a move.
You know, listen, you need to crack the whip or whatever. But no, the way baseball is set up now, it's more about the GMs and the front office and the analytics and all the people doing the evaluations and that sort of thing.
Yeah. That connects to the next mail sack question. Dirt, what's the state of the union on your Giants? Do you want Posey and Vitello back? Here's what I will say. The state of the Giants is horrible. They're just awful. It's been a disastrous year from start to finish. All the way to the opening night of the season, it was like, this is how the rest of the year is going to go. Great, my season's over one night in. I also was hit with the gut punch while on vacation that their longtime color analyst, Mike Kruko, is retiring. And that was truly one of those moments of like, it made me depressed for a moment. Because that's one of the best parts about Giants baseball. People love making fun of me for the story years ago that I rewatched a regular season game. The reason in the context of that story, it's a funny one to make fun of me for, was that back in the day on MLB Extra Innings, you didn't have the ability to watch both the home feed and the road feed. So you'd only get the home feed when you were watching your team. So when your team went on the road, you would watch, and they opened the season, I want to say, in Milwaukee one year. And I love the Giants broadcasters so much. I'm like, I wanted to hear them on opening day, and I had nothing going on that night. And I went back and rewatched the Giants broadcast of the game because you could do it later on the replay of the at-bat or whatever. Now you have the technology to watch whatever you want, whenever you want. Dude, that killed me that he was retiring because him and Dwayne Kuiper are two of the best in the business. Yep. They've been doing it for 40 years. Every summer, like those are the guys who narrate my summer every summer. Now, not as much this year because I turned them off because they've been so bad. And now I'm going to watch almost every game the rest of the way because I'm not going to hear them again. And they're going to rope me back in for the rest of the runway for the next month and a half. I'm not even going to watch the game. I just put my headphones in and probably listen to the broadcast. So that's a side tangent. That genuinely sucked, and I was super sad that he's retiring. I also have a hard time, and this goes back. I use this with the Blazers sometimes. Like, if I don't criticize the move when it happens, I feel, I don't know if phony is the right word, but it doesn't feel genuine to then turn around and criticize something that I liked in the first place, if that makes sense. And every move that Posey has made, I've said, I like it. And none of them have worked out. So it makes me feel hypocritical, maybe is a word I'm looking for there. So is Vitello the problem? He's certainly over his head, but I don't think it's his fault that the roster sucked and everybody had a down year. It's just they have a similar thing kind of with the Mariners. They have a lot of rich owners who know that you're going to have 3 million butts in the seats every year because you have one of the most historic ballparks in baseball.
Right.
It's a tourist destination, so it's a cash cow. What is the incentive for them?
What do you want to do in the summertime in Seattle but go sit outside with some entertainment?
So you're printing money. People are coming to games. There's not a sense of urgency to win. And it just that I have a hard time pointing the finger to the GM and the coach when the moves that they have not added outside of a Devers trade, which I was again a fan of, and he's been okay. It hasn't quite lived up to the expectation. They have struck out on every big name guy that they've gone after. Every single one of them. Harper, they weren't willing to give another year. Arson Judge was a Giant for 20 minutes, and then he re-signed. Like, to me, it's an ownership problem, not a GM and a coach problem. So I would not want either of them fired. I'm certainly biased with Posey. Vitello's 1 year. I think that's kind of dumb to bring a guy and then fire him after 1 year. But the state of the Giants is they blow. And I will be watching because I want to hear their color analyst for the rest of the season. Let's get to the rest of the mail sack. Sparta TRT mail sack. Wrap it up next, and then we'll get to Wright Gazaway. Top of the hour. Back after this on The Fam.
Data centers don't wait, and neither should your supply chain. From power and connectivity to racks and critical power, Graybar brings the products and the experience data centers need now. And with deep inventory and logistics expertise, we keep projects moving from first delivery to final install. With hundreds of locations and a nationwide delivery fleet, we help you bring facilities online on time and on budget. Yep, Graybar does that.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops, and neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back in. Right, guys, away coming up top of the hour. In studio, talk to him about the city council. They're voting today. New proposals. How much are you going to get in rent? Huh? How much should we charge them? What's the rent payment?
Well, it's another $2 million a year.
Just a little, just $2
million. Among friends. No big deal. Partners.
No big deal. It's going to be okay.
Yes! Here we go!
But we were in the middle of a Sparta TRT mail sack on a Wednesday, because that's how we roll when it's a solo show, and I wasn't here yesterday, and I'm not missing a live, I'm not listening to a live mail sack. It's just not happening.
That's right.
Put that on my headstone. What else do we got here? Let me pull it back. Mail sack question. What are your little joys in life? One of mine is a fudgesicle on a hot day.
Ooh.
When was the last time you had a fudgesicle?
Been a while since I had a fudgesicle.
Been a hot minute for me. I'm not anti-fudgesicle. They're not accessible often. And also on a hot day, dare I say, down by the bay, I would prefer like a popsicle over a fudgesicle.
I would just prefer ice cream.
Really? Because the popsicle on a hot day to me hits a little bit better than the ice cream hits on a hot day. But that's just my two cents.
Yeah. Nah, I mean, now there's some ice creams that are more light and refreshing than others that are fairly heavy.
A little bit thick. It feels like a meal. Yeah. Thick with two C's.
Yeah.
Yeah, I go with give me like a nice fruit popsicle or something like that on a 100-degree day. Feels good. Makes it feel like you're being a little bit healthier, even though we all know that's not certainly the reality. One of my biggest guilty pleasures, that's a great question. Probably the biggest one that I have is this would be the oldest, whitest thing I've said probably in a while. I love hand watering my lawn.
Mm.
Hand watering my lawn in the summer is one of the more relaxing things that I do. You just kind of zone out. I don't like doing the sprinkler and move it. I don't have a watering system. And so I will take almost literally every day, there will be a 30-minute window, usually when the wife gets home from work. And so I got extra, you know, all hands on deck here. And it's like, I'm going to go water. Mm. you just go water. And that's one of my biggest, I love doing it. It relaxes me, makes me feel like a greenskeeper.
Oh, there you go.
I'm all about it. That's one of my biggest guilty pleasures. That's not that guilty of a pleasure, but if you're just talking like random things that I love, little joys in life, that's it right there.
Mine, one of them, I don't know. Mine I usually recognize in the moment and then I forget about it. It's one of those, like...
Yeah, you don't even notice that you're doing it.
You just have a moment of zen. It's like, this is fantastic.
I felt good.
Waking up early on a weekend morning when I don't have to be anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you've got the cool brisk. I can open the sliding glass door.
Yeah, I get the air coming through. So I get fresh air.
It's not so cold that you're, like, freezing.
Love that fall air.
But you get the brisk air. I have a random sporting event, like something early, European soccer, European golf, you know, tennis, something that, you know, I'm not like all invested in, but it's sports on.
Yeah.
And a spiked coffee cocktail.
Ooh, yeah.
Of some sort.
Get your Saturday off to a good
Wife's
start.
Wife's still sleeping.
Yeah. Going to be in bed for a little
and
bit
I'm
longer.
Just like, I woke up early yourself, for basically. Whatever reason. I don't have any responsibilities for a while.
Yeah, that's a good one
right
there.
Like,
that I'm going to sound like such a little bee here, and I apologize in advance. And please save this for when I eventually complain. I am so ready for fall weather. I am so ready for that, like, crisp morning.
Well, I have
morning.
Liked, even though it's been warm, like, the last couple of weeks, it's still been getting...
It cools down a little bit
after
at night.
We got rid of that smoke from a few weeks ago where we were in the Easy Bake Oven for a few days.
But the leaves are turning. It's, like, high of 64 today, partially cloudy, chilly fall morning air.
I like it where it just touches in the afternoon. It'll just touch into 70.
Yeah.
So the sun's out. It's warm, but you can go do whatever you want to do.
Now we're talking. I'm not sweating like a... You know what, in church. All right, mail sack question. If you were able to purchase a majority stake in one NBA franchise, excluding the Blazers, which one would you purchase?
Ooh.
I'm assuming money is no object here.
Yeah, if you could.
If you could, so I have the money to do it.
What would I purchase? Where is there a massive... Because I think if you're going to do that, you know...
The Indiana Pacers.
Okay.
I like the history. I love the jerseys. Great fan base.
Have you been to Indianapolis?
I've never been to Indianapolis. But as Tom Dundon would tell us, you don't need to live in Indianapolis. I got a private jet. I'm flying in and out.
That's true. But if I know me...
You would want to live there, be there every game?
I don't know that I'd want to live there, but I would be going there frequently. Like, if I'm going to invest that much of my personal wealth into a franchise,
right?
how much I meddle and stuff is a different case, but
the day-to-day, yeah.
I'm not going to invest that much in something I'm not going to want to experience, something like that.
That's fair.
The Sixers?
Sixers would be fun. Philly would be a fun city to live in.
Philly's, the times I've been there, Philly's fun.
Philly is awesome.
Most of the other teams, other than the Eagles, I can appreciate. I think I would learn to appreciate
them.
Yeah,
we could be a Philly fan. Yeah, I'd be
Flyers fan.
I'm fine with the Flyers. I got
don't know
beef.
About the hockey team.
Yeah.
Villanova, Temple University.
Good college hoops area.
And you could get behind it. The Palestra. Yeah, other than the Eagles, I don't think I could ever root for the Eagles.
Yeah.
But I think the Sixers, because you've got a storied, historic franchise.
Great logo.
Great logo. Dr. J, Moses Malone.
People in Philly care, man. Fans are passionate there.
Fans are passionate.
Yeah.
AI. Like, but you haven't been entitled to winning the way the Celtics or the Lakers or somebody else has.
No, absolutely not.
So I could totally see, like, the Sixers. Yeah, you said, hey, we need somebody to come in. We're trying to raise some cash.
Yeah, I got $6 billion sitting around.
Here's a third of it for $3 billion. Have at it.
Let's see here. A couple more quick ones. As a Seahawks fan, I would say that the path the Hawks went through is a pure storybook, having to go through both rivals and then get revenge on the Pats.
Yeah.
What would be your storybook season for you? That is a great question. Super underrated part. Underrated part.
Are we
of
limiting this to the NFL, or are we saying?
Well, I go college. I'll go college football.
What is your college football
like? The storybook run.
Path?
This one's pretty simple. I would love if you gave me this year. Oregon gets one of the top four seeds in the playoffs.
Do you want rematch in the Big Ten title game? You want Ohio State again, or you want Indiana?
I want to beat a team twice, because we can't beat a team twice. Sometimes we lose to a team twice.
So that
I want
would
to
be
beat
Ohio State or Michigan.
Or Indiana. Indiana could be in the Big Ten title game, too.
But you don't play them in a regular season.
You play them in the Big Ten title game, and then you might play them in the playoffs.
Oh, okay.
It's a playoff path. So I would go, I want to beat Indiana in the Big Ten title game.
Okay, that's what I was, yeah.
Oregon gets a first-round bye. I want USC to somehow make the playoff this year, which we all know won't happen.
You want to drub their ass again?
And I want to smoke them again after we smoke them in L.A. at the end of September, so we double-dip that chip on a double smoking and make Meringue paint his face twice. That would be glorious. We all know Washington isn't going to get there, so I'm not putting you in that conversation. I apologize, Huskies. after that, I would like I want an all-Big Ten run here.
Oh, you don't want...
I don't give a rip about anybody else.
You don't want to... Take Mario behind the woodshed?
That's fine. It'd be great. But the pain of losing the way they've lost, the teams that we've lost in the last two years, that hits a little bit more for me. Mario would certainly be great. I get it. You know what? Actually, yes, I'll amend, because we just beat Indiana in the Big Ten title game, so we got that one off the books.
You can open with Mario coming to...
I'm still going to open with USC just because.
Okay.
And then I want Mario in the next round of the playoffs.
Quarters.
I don't want him getting deep. I don't want a deep Mario. I want him out early. Not early, but quarters would be early. For him from last year.
Oh, wait, no. Your first, because you get a bye, that is your first. That's the quarters.
That's true.
So Mario's the quarters.
So Mario's...
If you get the bye, you're only getting three games.
Okay, touche. Let me amend. Okay, apologies. Start this over again. USC, we already beat you in the regular season. We don't need to beat you again. Washington, you're not in the playoff. Miami in the quarters. Indiana in the Big Ten title game. Ohio State in the... and then Ohio State would be the national championship, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. And then I go Ohio State.
Okay.
You give me some combination of the teams that we lost to the last 2 years, the way we lost to them. In Miami, I'm good.
There you go.
That's a hell of a run right there. That would be my storybook ending. Super underrated part of the Seahawks Super Bowl last year was going on that run. No doubt about it. Last one here, and then we'll go. How much would the Cowboys sell for if they sold right now?
Oh, boy.
The Lakers just sold for $12 billion, resetting
record. And the thing is, because the Cowboys own all that.
Everything.
All that practice facility and a hotel and a golf course and God
Has
knows.
Has to be north of $20 billion, right?
It's got to be towards $20
billion. Has to be.
Yeah.
If you sold, like, they're never going to do it, because that's why. If
and to
they
get
did,
Jared to sell it.
Yes, if they did
Jared
that.
Would have to be in some sort of legal trouble where he had to generate cash to keep his butt out of hot water. I think he'd roll over and die rather than that.
He absolutely would.
If he got in a sling and he was dead to rights and it was going to cost him everything, he'd totally roll over and die.
This is all we got. There you go. The Sparta TRT mail sack. Usually on Tuesdays. I wasn't here yesterday. We did it on a Wednesday. Whether you're hitting the gym, just trying to survive the workday, don't just watch in the sidelines. Reclaim your edge and win at the second half of life. SpartaTRT.com. Lots to get to in the final hour of the show. It is a big day in the city of Portland today. City council vote coming up a little bit later on this morning. And we're going to start the final hour there with our friend Wright Gazaway from K2 in studio. What do we need to know? What's on the line today? All of that next on the Fan.
The pressure on data centers has never been greater. Whether you're expanding capacity, supporting AI workloads, or building new facilities, Graybar works alongside you with the solutions, specialists, and logistics expertise you need today. We help you power performance every step of the way, so your operation is ready now. Yep, Graybar does that.
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses. Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.